It's great to be here this morning. It's good to see everybody and appreciate the brothers that sacrificed their dryness to help some of you come in and be drier. So good job for you guys that did that. I'm going to piggyback off of last week. We're kicking off a series called Summer of Faith. And we're going to be going through Hebrews 11 and the different people that are listed in Hebrews 11 lifted up as faithful men and women of God. And we're just going to look at their story and see what we can learn about being faithful people of God today in 2018. So go to the next slide there. Last week, Peter preached and I listened to the message and he did a great job. Yeah. And he talked about having faith to trust God and follow his way no matter how we feel. You know, that God's way is the best way, and having the faith to walk in God's way no matter what we think. And also the faith to trust in God's grace, because we're going to make mistakes. Yeah. And when we make mistakes, we need to believe that it's okay to get back up and keep going.
Yeah.
And so that's faith in God's grace, because that's exactly how God is. Yeah. Is he knows we're going to fall, but when we do, he wants us to get up and keep on moving and not just sit down and cry and say it's over and I can't do it.
Right.
And so today I'm going to kind of piggyback off Abraham's life, and I'm talking about having faith on a long journey. And these are three things I want to talk about: building your faith by remembering God's covenant, building your faith through God's encouragement, and building your faith by routinely looking up. So we're going to come back to each of those as we move through the message here today. So for those who don't know, well, let's start with this. Go to the next slide there. If you think about a journey, all of us have gone on road trips. Think about a road trip you went on. Think about a road trip you're thinking about going on. But think about the when you went to a destination you've never been before. Something motivated you to go to that destination. Now, if it's a vacation, you probably saw some pictures somewhere, and it's like, that's a cool place. I want to go there. And so you put together all the pieces of a road trip. Go to the next slide. So you hear about the destination, you see pictures of the destination. You know there's going to be some challenges, you know, if you're on a road trip and it's any length of time. You know, you're going to have to stop and get gas. You're going to have to stop and get some food. You're going to be in this little car. If it's a long journey, it gets kind of tiring sitting in that. There'll be traffic. There might be some detours. You know, there'll be some challenges. But, you know, it's worth it to you. That's why you started the journey.
Yeah.
But since you've never taken it, you don't totally know what you're going to run into. You just have the faith that it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
You with me there?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of parallels between our journey with God and a road trip. We can tie a lot of things together. So I'm going to tie something together from a trip I was just on. Go to the next slide there. So my son Kurt and I, we went on a hike in the Grand Canyons to this place called Havasu Falls. So there's a stock photo of Havasu Falls. Okay. Now to get to Havasu Falls, there's a picture of the destination. I saw the picture. I saw the destination, looked desirable, seemed like a place I'd like to visit. But to get there, what it takes is a 10-mile walk through the Grand Canyon, pack in everything you need for your time in the Grand Canyon, no water for the first 8 miles, so you better take some water with you, 100 degrees in the daytime, and a 2,800-foot elevation change, so 280 flights of stairs. That's what it takes to get to Havasu Falls, okay? So, you know, there's the destination. I understand the road trip. I know there'll be some challenges, but it seems worth it. I had the faith to step forward and say, let's do this together. Go to the next slide. So, do I start? Yes. I said, I'm going to do it. I'm gonna make this journey. Do I have the faith I can get through the challenges? I said yes to that. I know there'll be some. I kind of was a little nervous, to be quite honest. Not as young as I once was. You know, the pack weighed 45 pounds. That's not nothing, okay? And so, you know, do I have faith that the journey and the destination are worth it? You know, somebody could have put a stock photo on the web and said, this is a cool place, go visit it. Let's see how many, you know, suckers we can get to take 10-mile hike in and find nothing. It could have been like that, right? But I had the faith that the pictures were real and that the destination was going to be worth it. And so there you go. Go to the next slide. So there's me and Kurt with our 45-pound packs apiece. There's where we started. We're happy. You know, you got the pack on. It feels heavy, but it doesn't feel that heavy because you haven't gone anywhere yet. All I've done is put it on my back and stood there for a picture. But at the beginning of the journey, what you see is dry rock. It's pretty, but it's dry. It's barren. Okay, that's what you're starting with. And supposedly, there's this stock photo at the end of this journey through what's basically the desert. Go to the next slide. So there's another picture as we're going down the elevation. You know, on your way in, you're going down 2,800 feet. So it's not terrible, but you're thinking, one day I got to come up this 2,800 feet. And let me tell you, coming up is different than going down, okay? Go to the next slide. So this is what we walked through. We walked through the canyon. That's what it looked like for 8 miles, okay? And with a pack, about the fastest you go is 2 miles an hour. And so you're going through, you're drinking water, trying to stay hydrated, and it's cool, but it's not lush, and there's no ponds, there's no running water, there's no waterfalls. And at mile 10, go to the next one, you get to this. And it looks fairly similar to the stock photo, doesn't it? Shocking! You know, it actually is what the picture said it was going to be. And so this is where we ended up, 10 miles later, at Havasu Falls. The water is blue, and the waterfall is just coming down hard. And after 8 miles of dry nothingness, you hit this oasis in the middle of the Grand Canyon. It's just phenomenal, okay? But the journey wasn't just a piece of cake. And it was interesting on the journey, some of the things that I felt like I learned as I traveled with Kurt and God down to this place and back. Go to the next slide. You pass people. We're going in. There's people that have been there. They're coming out. And there's two questions. In the 3 days we were there, there's two questions that always get asked. And these are the only two questions that get asked. There are not three questions that get asked. There are only two. And they're always the same two. What do you think they are? How much farther? That's one of them. The other one is, am I still on the right trail? That's all you care about. When you're on a long journey, all you care about is, I don't want to have taken a detour. Am I on the right trail? And am I almost there? And how much farther? Those are the ones that always come up every single time. Go to the next slide. You know, it's the proverbial, are we there yet? Right? You know, if you've ever been on a road trip, and whether you were the kid or you were the adult, or even if you were all adults, it's still, are we there yet? How much farther? I really want to get out of the car. Go to the next slide. So you know, as you journey, if you're on a long journey, the longer you journey, the heavier your load feels. You know, when we started at the top of that hill, the backpack felt like 45 pounds. At mile 8, that backpack felt like 65 pounds. By mile 10, it felt like 100. Now, it wasn't getting any heavier, but it sure felt like it was getting heavier. And I was happy to get that thing off because it just felt like it was crushing into my shoulders. I'm like, oh, I gotta get this off. So the longer we carry stuff on a long journey, it adds up. Yeah. Which, what does that mean? In a spiritual sense, think about what that means for you. You know, what are you carrying? Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you're carrying is gonna get heavier. If you can let go of it, if you can unload it, it's so much better if we can let it go. The road gets longer. Well, of course it does, because a 10-mile road is 10 miles long. And if you're on 8-mile 8, it has to get longer if you keep walking. The fact is, the longer we're on a trail, the longer we're traveling, the more things add up, and the more we wonder, did I miss a turn? You know, I don't know if you've ever been on a treadmill, but I felt like the treadmill effect on the journey. I would look at my watch. It's like, oh, it's 10:40. And I'd walk and I'd walk and I'd walk. I was like, oh, surely it's been like a half hour. And I look at my watch, it's been 5 minutes. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, but the longer you go, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, am I ever going to get there? Long journeys have a way of kind of messing with our minds and our perspective. We get tired and we get weary, and it can start to make us wonder if we've gotten off the trail and missed a turn. Whatever things you got going on, whatever issues, like I got a blister on my toe from my hiking boots. Mile 5, it's an annoyance. Mile 10, it hurts.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
What's the point? Whatever we've got going on in our spiritual world, when we first get it, It might be annoying. But if we let it hang around for longer, the more it hangs around, it's not annoying anymore. It's painful. So we got to deal with stuff as they come up. You guys following me there? So go to the next slide. So the bottom line is, when we're on a long journey, we can have the faith to start that journey. But the longer we're on the journey, it tests our faith. The journey itself tests our faith. And so this morning we want to talk about really building up our faith to be on a journey with God till we die. Okay, we don't want to start a journey with God and then just say I'm done. We want to start a journey with God and we want to stay with it till we die or Jesus comes back. Amen. Go to the next slide. So we're going to talk about Abraham. Build our faith by remembering God's covenant. Abraham was on a pretty long journey. In Genesis 12 there, in verse 4, he was 75 years old and he was told by God, you're going to have a son. In Genesis 17, he's 99 years old now and he still doesn't have that son. 24 years of journeying with God and the promise he had received still hadn't happened. 24 years is a decent amount of time to journey looking for something to happen and it hasn't happened and keeping his faith. His faith was tested during those 24 years. You can believe it. Go to the next. So in Genesis 15, if you want to go to Genesis 15, we're going to read in there. God says, you know, God and Abraham are having a discussion. And God tells Abraham that he's going to give this land to him as a promise. In verse 8, Abraham says, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of this land? How can I know? How can I be sure? Am I on the right path? I feel like that's kind of that sentiment. God, how can I know I'm on the right trail? How can I know I'm on the right path? How can I know that what you said is going to happen? I'd like to have some certainty because I've been journeying for some number of years now. And my faith's being tested. How can I know? And we're going to read God's answer. It starts in verse 9 here. Here's what God gives him when he's wondering, when his faith is being tested. He's saying, here's what I got for you, Abraham. Here's how I'm going to help you out with your faith. So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, he cut them in two and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation that they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at an old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces, the animals that Abram had cut in half. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land. And he explains what the land is. Go to the next slide there. God made a covenant with Abraham. He said, in his sleep, in this image that God gave him, there was this flaming torch that went through these two halves of animals that Abram had cut in half. And what this symbolizes, as I understand it, is this is basically when you make a covenant, a promise, a solemn binding agreement. It would be like saying, if I don't fulfill my part of this agreement, may I be cut in half like these animals. In other words, God's trying to communicate to Abraham, I'm serious. I'm going to come through. What I'm promising, you can count on it. This is a covenant I'm making with you. It wasn't like, hey, you want to go to, you know, McDonald's after church? Yeah, I'll think about it. Wasn't like that. I'm gonna do this. Count on it. Have faith in it. Remember the covenant relationship. Go to the next slide. So a covenant is a formal binding agreement between two parties. What God gave Abram to help his faith was a covenant connection, which is what God gives us. What makes up our covenant connection today? You know, we have so many things in this Bible that we get to read that highlights different parts of the covenant relationship we have with God. And when our faith's being tested, I think God, like he said to Abraham, is remember the covenant. Go back to the covenant. Remind yourself about parts of this covenant relationship. Count on it. God has never missed a promise that he has offered up to mankind. And he's not about to miss it with you or me. Some of the things in our covenant relationship that I find encouraging and help my faith, go to the next slide, are like John 15. Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Part of our covenant relationship with God is God saying, I'll tell you what, if you'll walk in my ways, if you'll do what I say, if you'll follow my lead, then I'm telling you what, I'm going to bring fruitfulness into your life. Yeah. It's part of our covenant relationship. We should count on it. We shouldn't wonder if it's going to happen. We should know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We should know for certain that that's part of this covenant relationship that I have with God. And it should encourage us on our journey. Go to the next one. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Part of our covenant relationship isn't just an initial forgiveness of sin when we repent and we're baptized in Jesus' name and God wipes away our sins initially. He's saying after that, while you journey for a year or 10 or 20 or 30, I still got you covered.
Yeah.
You walk in the light, you do your best to be like Jesus, and I'll tell you what, I got you covered. Have faith in it. Be encouraged by it. It's part of our covenant relationship. That's what Abram got when his faith was tested. And I think that's what God gives us when our faith is tested. There's so many great things in the Word of God to encourage us along our journey so that we can continue in faithfulness. Number two, we're going to build our faith through God's encouragement. We're going to read here in Genesis 17, verse 17. God gives us lots of ways to be encouraged. And we need it.
Yeah.
Here, this is when Abraham's 99 years old, 24 years after his promise, still doesn't have the son he was promised. And this, to me, is kind of the how much further sentiment that's going on with Abraham. 17:17. Abraham fell face down and he laughed. He said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 99? To Abraham, it's laughable. It's like, really? I've journeyed a long time. This ain't happening. It's just not happening. I mean, I've gone a long way. How much farther? I mean, really, God? I'm 100. Then he said, Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. How about another? How about we change the plan? Right? Don't we get there? You know, it's kind of like, I've been journeying a long time. Maybe there's a destination a little closer. A little more tangible. A little more real. Maybe not the full, you know, when we start to say, how much further can I actually go? Well, God said, yeah, I hear you. But your wife, Sarah, she is going to bear you a son, just like I said. And you're going to call him Isaac. And I will establish my covenant. He's reminding him about that covenant relationship. I'll establish my covenant with him, the son that you don't have yet, that I told you you were going to get 24 years ago. I didn't forget. You're going to have it. And then my covenant is going to continue with him. And by the way, I've got a name for him. He makes it a little more real for Abraham. Here's his name. His name's going to be Isaac. See, Abraham was starting to offer up other names. What about Ishmael? Won't that son work? It's like, no, it's going to be the son named Isaac that you don't have because you don't have an Isaac in your clan. But you're going to, and when you have him, I already gave him a name, and you're going to take that name and you're going to name him. So if I'm Abraham, that became more real. You just named a kid. You just gave me a name. There's nobody I have in my clan named Isaac, and you just gave me a name. Huh. Maybe this is going to happen. Go to the next slide there. How much farther? God told him, I'm going to do this. It's been 24 years. I know how to keep time. I know you're 100. But I told you I was going to do it, and I'm going to do it. And so I'm going to encourage you by giving you some more details. Number one, I'm going to give you the name of the son that you don't have yet. Because I think that will give you a little more encouragement for where you are. And you thinking that you go another direction? How about this? How about Ishmael? No, just stop thinking like that. I got the plan for you. You just need a journey on. How many times do we hit a place like that? You know, where we feel like, I don't know, I'm getting tired. I've been journeying a while. And I don't know how much longer. You ever felt like, I don't know how much longer I can do this? Yeah. Who's felt that way spiritually, you know? How much longer can I do this? I felt it. And I think maybe that's why sometimes the encouragement God gives us is, don't worry about what? Don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Today's got enough trouble all by itself. You can't deal with tomorrow. You got to deal with today. Today's good enough for you. Forget about tomorrow. Worry about now. You know, when Kurt and I were in the Grand Canyon, there was a place, I'm claustrophobic, okay? And I know I am, and I kind of say that I'm slightly, but that's not true. I'm completely claustrophobic. And there's a trail from where we were, the Havasu Fall Trail with the waterfall. Then there's a flat place where you camp. Then there's another waterfall called Mooney Falls. And so we were going to go down Mooney Falls. I was like, great, let's do it. Well, Kurt had been there once before. I'd never been to... Kurt hiked in there with my brothers 8 years ago. He'd been down this trail. He knows I'm claustrophobic. He didn't tell me a thing about this. So we get to this trail, and there's two sections of cave you have to go through that's enclosed as part of the mountain to get down. And we're approaching this cave, which is one person wide. And you can't see light at the end of the tunnel, which makes it worse for someone like me, because it goes and turns. So you're looking into a dark cave, one person wide, that you don't know how long it is. And I walk up to the mouth of this, I'm like, Kurt, what in the world? He goes, yeah, I know you wouldn't like it, but I figured you didn't need to fret about it, so I'd tell you about it. I'm like, what? I'm like, I can't believe you did that to me. So he was just, you know, he don't need to worry about that yet, you know? You just worry about today. You worry about getting to Havasu Falls on the journey. You don't need to be thinking about Mooney Falls in the little cave. You can worry about that tomorrow. So he was working with God's wisdom, but I didn't really like it at that very second. Because I thought, you should have told me. I survived, obviously. I'm here. But I got to tell you, it was not fun. All right, go to the next slide.
That was Mooney Falls.
Mooney Falls was beautiful. Right. Yeah. What does God tell us? You know, the first century Christians, they got weary in their faith. They wondered how much further. And Paul, we see it in some of the stuff God inspired Paul to write here in Romans 13. It says, understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation, it's nearer now than when we first believed. He's basically helping them. They're feeling like the journey's getting long. He's like, hey, you've journeyed, but it's closer now. Don't Don't stop journeying. It's closer now than when you started your journey. You're nearer the end. Don't pull up short. The night's nearly over. The day's almost here. Put aside the deeds of darkness. Stay in the fight. Put on the armor of light. Don't give up. Don't stop fighting. Keep fighting your sin. Keep trying to be like Jesus. It's not too late. It's not over. You can do it. You're closer than you were before. This is Paul talking to the first century Christians. Something we can take to heart today. Go to the next slide. This is an amazing verse. It says, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. Encourage each other with these words. What's Paul saying? He's saying to the first century Christians, remember the vision of the destination. It's not all about the destination. It's about the journey and the destination. But keep that picture of the destination. There's going to be a day. Jesus is going to come back. When he comes back, we're all going to get caught up with Jesus. We're going to go to live in his house. Amen. Remember it. Picture it. And talk about it and encourage each other with these words. Amen. You know, during the 10-mile journey through the Grand Canyon, I would picture Havasu Falls, and I'm like, it's going to be worth it. Yeah. I mean, this journey is pretty awesome. The canyon walk was beautiful. I loved it, even though it got long. But I was really looking forward to the destination. And God wants us to remember the destination. Go to the next slide. Encourage one another as long as it's called today, so that no one may be hardened by sin's deceitful. Some of God's encouragement comes from the person sitting around you. God encourages us through each other. Some of the encouragement we need to journey on is going to come from each other. And we got to encourage one another. You know, in those caves I was telling you about, on the way down, we were up at 6 a.m. We were the only ones. I was going through the cave, even though I didn't like it. It was easy because there was nobody going through the caves but me and Kurt. So I waited until Kurt went through the cave, and I said, Kurt, are you out? He's like, yep, okay, then I'll go in. And so then I went in. So I'm the only one in the cave. I got it all to myself. And then there was two caves, not just one. There's that part A and part B. But as we went through, I was thinking on the way back, this is going to be a problem. Yeah. Because as the day goes on, there's going to be people on this trail. It's a one-man trail. And I have to go through the one-man trail with other people. And I'm not going to like it. But I'll have to worry about that later. We travel on. We come back, sure enough. At the bottom, you can see the trail all the way to the top, and it is chock full of people. There is not a break to be seen. We had a seat and put our feet in the river, waited an hour for a break. No break. I'm like, this is not going well. I got to go through that with other people. I can't go through it with myself. So eventually we got this plan. But I told Kurt, I said, here's the plan. Here's the only way I'm going to survive this. I was like, I need you to go through the tunnel ahead of me and stop anybody from entering the tunnel. And once I hear you say the tunnel's clear, I'm coming through. And until I hear you say it's all clear, I'm not coming through. I needed someone to be my encourager.
Yeah.
You know, and so he did that. He went through the tunnel and he stood at the face of that end. The people coming this way, he's like, uh-uh, you can't go in. And then when it was empty, he's like, okay, you can come now. And so I would hustle up through there, and people look at me like, what's up with this guy? And I'm like, I don't care what you think. I'm just trying to survive getting to the top. There was a lady behind me who was like, you really are claustrophobic. I'm like, yeah, I am. She goes, I'm so sorry for you. I'm like, I understand. I'm sorry for me too. We're going to get encouragement from other people. We need other people.
Yep.
And God has given us one another. Lastly, build your faith by routinely looking up. This is a trail. Where is this trail? Could be anywhere, right? Could be a trail in a gravel pit. Could be a trail around the Constitution Trail. Could be a parking lot. Could be anywhere. Sometimes when we get caught up with life, we're trudging. And we're looking down at the trail, one foot in front of the other, got a 45-pound pack on, just trying to get through, and we're just trudging, plodding along, looking at the trail, and that's all we see. And it weighs us down. But if we would look up, see, that trail is that trail. Which is more inspiring? To look down on the left or to look up and see the canyon walls on the right? Same trail. Exact same spot. That picture was taken from the exact same spot on the earth. But one feels pretty different than the other. We got to routinely remember when we're in the middle of stuff to stop and look up. Stop and look up at God. Stop and look up at the stars. Stop and look up at a sunset. Stop and look up. Stop and look at the Bible. Stop and look at something beautiful. And remember, there's more going on here than this moment I'm in. Go to the next slide there. You know, this guy, he's at work on the left. He didn't look very happy. You know, he's looking at the trail. You know, it's been a long day. The guy on the right, he's looking up. He's playing air guitar, sitting in his work chair. Which one looks more happy? We've got to stop and look up sometimes. Go to the next slide. Genesis 15:5, God took Abram outside the camp. And he said to Abraham, he said, look up. Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. So shall your offspring be. You know, God told Abraham, come out here, look up. Look up here. Get some inspiration. See how big I am. Look at what I can do in it with a word. And don't question, don't lose your faith. Look up and see. Remember who I am. Don't get caught up in the path and that's all you see.
Yeah.
Go to the next slide. Your light and momentary troubles. You have trouble today. Some kind. God says they're light and momentary. You say, he doesn't know. He does. He does know. Our light and momentary troubles. Whatever they might be that we are experiencing as we journey with God, they're achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on Jesus. We look up. And we see what's not just the path in front of us. And our faith can be encouraged. This morning, if you're visiting for the first time, have the faith to study the Bible with somebody. If you've been studying the Bible, have the faith to repent and get baptized. If you're a disciple and you've repented, you've been baptized, have the faith to continue to journey on with God till He comes back or you pass.
Amen.
We're in a covenant relationship with God, and that means something. And let's be inspired by it. Let's stand and sing.